Welcome to Two Slant Trees, the podcast where a married couple learn to cope differently during social isolation while reading Brené Brown's The Gift of Imperfection together. This is episode 9, and today we'll be talking about guidepost 5, letting go of the need for certainty. So we need to jump back to yesterday's topic. In the spirit of cultivating gratitude, Jess, what are you grateful for from today?
I posted on Facebook how we bought like the Beatrix Potter book set in the fall sometime because it was like $20 and I was like, this is a good deal. Because normally the whole set is over $100.
Oh, okay.
So I saved it for a good thing. Anyways, quarantine seemed to be something that was
a good Beatrix Potter.
So we've been reading through those books and the boys love them, even though the vocabulary is way over their heads in some ways.
Well, and like at the end pages of the books, like inside the covers, yeah, there's a picture of all the characters. Yeah. And they have their names under them. So I was going around and I was like, so Teddy, who's this one? He's like, oh, that's like, that's Peter, yeah, and that's Flopsy, and that's Mopsy. And then there's a picture of the pie on one page. And I was like, well, what's that? He's like, that's Peter's dad. So he had to, because I guess Peter's dad got baked into a pie.
Yes.
They're rabbits, by the way.
Willie's like, what?
But Teddy knows.
Teddy knew. So then Willie read them Peter Rabbit, and he heard how he had a run-in with Mr. McGregor. But anyways, yeah. I've been really enjoying it. The boys are enjoying it. It's nice to get out of the cycle of reading the same Spider-Man stories, etc., over and over again.
Yep.
So that's what I'm grateful for. What about you?
Well, I'm grateful for that, too. I don't know. I think, what happened today? Did I practice gratitude today? I'm not sure if I did. I think I just kind of stress ate through my day again.
Well, you didn't seem stressed in the afternoon when you sat down and read with the boys.
That's true. That was a good moment.
Yeah.
Also got to play, build stuff with Timmy.
Timmy?
Yeah, yeah. Right after supper. We just went and played and we cleaned up the room. And,
okay.
Yeah, in the boys' room. We were all playing in there.
When I was laying down. That was fun. So, yeah. It was a nice day. And related to one of the other, I saw a tweet that I was grateful for because it also confirms what we have said. And it is a tweet by, his name is Winston Chang.
Possibly a listener to the podcast because he's still learning.
Because what?
He stole this insight from us.
Oh, yes. He said, if there's a baby boom in 9 months, it'll consist of entirely firstborn children. So, Maria, this one's on you now.
Yeah.
Because it's not on us. So, this episode / this chapter, she talks about cultivating intuition and trusting faith. What do you think, like, what do you think is intuition? How would you define it?
It's kind of what you know without knowing it.
Okay, yeah, that's a good idea.
Right? Like, you know, but you can't say why you know it.
Yeah. You hate that, though.
Yeah, I do.
Because when I'm like, I don't know, I just know. And you're just like, show your work.
That's right.
And you're just like, and I'm like, I don't know, I remember. I just got to that conclusion and I don't remember how. That's where I am now. And you're just like, you fume.
Yeah, but you got to explain it to me.
I know.
Yeah.
So I guess my next question is it something that you rely on a lot or ever? The answer is,
I don't very much. I don't think. I'm learning to, though, I think.
Okay.
Right? Because I think sometimes I get, because I'm like, yeah, you need to be able to show why you think this or tell me everything, you know? But I sometimes get myself into trouble because I have some friends that are very, very convincing. Right? And I can't, and sometimes they're wrong and I can't convince them. And it just eats away at me. Because I can't explain and reason it out perfectly so that they will understand and see from my perspective. And so then I start to doubt myself. But part of it is like, well, maybe...
Maybe it's your intuition.
Yeah, some of it's intuition and some of it's... I do need to trust that I can't explain it right now, I do know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. I mean...
Right? I shouldn't just cave or to be like, oh, well, we'll do it your way.
Yeah.
That's something. You should just not just be obstinate. But sometimes you're like, man, I know this isn't right, but I don't know how to explain it or convince the other person,
mm-hmm,
so I'll back down. But it's like, well, I shouldn't have backed down. I should have said, I disagree. And
yeah.
And often that's actually what people want, right?
Like, yeah.
They don't need a full-blown explanation, like, but they do want your perspective, right?
Agree to disagree.
Yeah, sometimes you do agree to disagree. But to be able to say, I'm not going to have an argument about it, but I don't think that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I have always been an intuitive person. Hmm. And I rely on instinct and intuition a lot. Though I don't... I guess I say that. I don't feel like I do. But then in contrast to you, I do a lot, right? Hmm. Would you agree?
Yes.
Because I guess you might think I just live life like winging it like crazy.
Sometimes, yeah.
And I do. But I do get into like phases where I like change my mind a lot because I'm trying to find like the optimized solution, and that is really irritating. But it's because I'm like, well, what about this? And then what about this? And what about this? Like, I do think through things a lot sometimes. But anyways, so she says that intuition is not the same as instinct. Did she say that?
Yeah, because she says, like, kind of the dictionary definition. Or, yeah, she just makes up her own definitions all the time, right?
Yeah. But that's
it's based on her research. A direct perception of truth or fact.
Yeah.
Right? But she says it's actually, it is
yeah.
based on reason. It's kind of just like a kind of a gut level, really quick assimilation of knowledge.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it's pulling together all your experience in a way you maybe can't, like, trace out why you think it.
Yeah, but your brain is already processed and categorized. It comes from your way of looking
at the world, yeah.
Yeah. So she says, most interestingly, like, faith and reason are not natural enemies. And here's a quote. It says, "It's our human need for certainty and our need to be right that have pitted faith and reason against each other in an almost reckless way. We force ourselves to choose and to defend one way of knowing the world at the expense of another."
Yeah. And so kind of she wants to cultivate intuition and trust faith and get away from this need for certainty. And that's why she kind of brings that up, right? Like, so there can feel like there's a conflict between faith and reason, but she's saying, no, there is, they do work together, or intuition and reason work together, but certainty is kind of the enemy of those things working healthily.
Yeah. And then she says this other quote.
Yeah. And it's, page 90, if you're reading along at home. "I understand that faith and reason can clash and create uncomfortable tensions. Those tensions play out in my life, and I can feel them in my bones. But this work has forced me to see that it's our fear of the unknown and our fear of being wrong that create most of our conflict and anxiety. We need both faith and reason to make meaning in an uncertain world."
I wrote Willie beside that because you I want felt me to like...
Just well, say some things about that.
I mean, I think that's...
I think she's getting at something really important of, like, that faith and reason have to go together, but that certainty is just, it can be a trap. Right. If you want to be certain, you're gonna get yourself into confusion. Actually, so I think one example of that, I guess, if there's kind of been some like YouTube confessionals or whatever going around of people talking about like their faith deconstruction journey.
Yeah.
And on the one hand, those annoy me because I study philosophy and literary theory in university, and so I actually read like actual French deconstructionism.
Yeah, and
you know, Derrida, you understand
words and thinking.
And well, and a different perspective. And philosophical deconstruction.
Yeah.
It's like Derrida actually committed himself to being at least 25% incomprehensible.
And he was.
Maybe Foucault. One or the other.
No, right? I think it was Derrida because...
That they just had like this deep conviction that philosophy should be confusing and unclear.
Was he the one who wrote Jacques Le Fatalist? Because that was bonkers. And I had to read in French, and it melted my brain, and I didn't understand any of it. We watched the movie version.
When people say talk about their deconstruction journey, and it doesn't involve trying to understand obscure French philosophers, I'm like, oh, that's not very serious. But the other thing I kind of picked up on these, like people talking about their faith deconstruction journey, and I mean, I've only listened to a few of them, but there was like this common thread in the ones that I have listened to, where... what they were deconstructing, it wasn't really faith, but they were deconstructing certainty, right? They were deconstructing, like they were just saying like, hey, like I have these doubts. Can I still be a Christian? Or I have these doubts. Can I still live my life by faith? But it's like, well,
like they're working through their cognitive dissonance, but yeah, like,
yeah. And for some of them, they said, no, like I need to walk away from Jesus because of this. And I find that sad. I don't fully understand it because I don't know if that's what faith is, right? To be to have all the answers. Like, to have...
Well, that certainly is not what faith is.
To have all the answers. But, like, I don't think that's what Jesus ever said he was going to do for us.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's... Like, I think of my kids. If they don't trust me... Or it's like, if they don't know everything about me... Or this, that, like, they don't know anything about me before I turn 30.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Right? So they don't... They can't base anything on...
Yeah.
Reason.
Yeah.
But if they don't trust me, like, that's a problem. And it's actually more of their problem than my problem. Like, they should be trusting me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's kind of the same with God, that, like, just because we don't know, or because there's uncertainty there, doesn't mean we can't be, still be reasonable and think these things through, but then also to walk by faith or to kind of take a step a bit into the unknown. Well, so like, I'm very sympathetic because I think, like, I try to pursue certainty a lot. Yeah. But I can see how that's kind of destructive in other areas of my life. So I really don't want to try to put certainty,
a certain
form of certainty onto my faith. Yeah. Right?
Well, she talks about that a bit. She says, like, this is how she defines faith based on her research interviews. Faith is a place of mystery where we find the courage to believe in what we cannot see and the strength to let go of our fear of uncertainty. And she also talks, she quotes this other theologian, and she really addresses what you're saying right there. How, like, for some people, faith has come to be this place of certainty, like religion. So he says... my scientist friends have come up with things like principles of uncertainty and dark holes. They're willing to live inside imagined hypotheses and theories, but many religious folks insist on answers that are always true. We love closure, resolution, and clarity while thinking that we are people of faith. How strange that very word faith has come to mean its exact opposite.
Hmm.
So I wonder, when you're talking about those people who are, like, talking about their deconstruction or their deconversion stories, like, if they were raised in that in a church or in a family that, you know,
it could be the church, but I think a lot of it's individual too, of just like how you react to things too, like, of, are you searching for certainty as a way to deal with life?
And
I think, I mean, because I have a tendency towards that, right?
Yeah.
Like, I want information or whatever, but yeah, then when Jesus doesn't give that to you,
yeah,
then you get frustrated or mad at him.
It is.
I can understand that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't know if, like, you can say it's because one church is more like that or another, or one. I think it's every human is a bit different.
Yeah.
It's very individual. I don't know.
I feel like my experience growing up was, like, there was a lot more of, like, just the hard line, this is the way it is.
And, yeah, like, yeah, and that, get used to it. Or, yeah.
And that, like, led to, like, you know, our parents were so certain about, like, faith. I don't mean yours, like, one's parents, my parents. You know, I don't know. Like, I turned out fine. I think I turned out fine.
I married you, so.
So I already was fine.
Yeah. But, like, that. Because, yeah, certainty, I don't know, like, it can be kind of a trap where it's like, oh, you start to think, well, we're Christians, and because we know something that other people don't know.
Yeah.
Or we're smarter than other people.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, like, not many of you are wise. Right? Right. It's like, I had first pick, and I know that not many of you are all that bright.
And he's
some people are, right?
There's some very smart people that are Christians. To shame the
but
wise.
But he said explicitly, I picked the fools for a reason.
Yeah.
For his, you know, it's like, well, yeah, if I don't understand it, that's because Jesus picked a dummy, you know, and me.
Yeah. But so she kind of concludes, it's a lot much shorter chapter.
Yeah.
And she says, faith is essential when we decide to live and love with our whole hearts in a world where most of us want assurances before we risk being vulnerable and getting hurt. To say, I'm going to engage in wholeheartedly in my life requires believing without seeing.
Hmm.
And then she goes into the dig deep part. And this is trickier, I think. Yeah, I guess the kind of, she talks about letting go of certainty in the dig, or in the get deliberate part of the dig deep. And I don't know, it kind of makes me wonder, like, how do we let go of certainty? Like, do you have any idea? Like,
idea? I think it's just, for me, a lot of it is just realism, you know, and paying attention to just how complicated the world actually is. I mean, I shared this video on Facebook a few weeks ago of like fractals math, and it's like, because it's unpredictable.
Yeah.
And that's math that becomes unpredictable. And I don't understand it. So maybe it is, it makes perfect sense, but somehow you do a formula and it starts jumping around in weird ways, the numbers.
That's deeply disturbing to me.
Yeah. Math is already unpredictable. Even math is kind of like unstable. It's like, well, I mean, what else is beyond my comprehension, right? You know?
Yeah, that's deeply frightening. Math, even the basic math was unstable.
Two plus two is still four.
Still four.
Yeah.
So she also made me think of this tweet, like that was on the Corona jokes.
I'll print out some tweets and read them to you.
It's true. We did do that. This person says, Americans need to know a certain date when this will end. It's the coronavirus. The uncertainty for business, parents, and kids is just not sustainable. And somebody replies to her saying, so you want to speak to the manager of the coronavirus?
Yeah.
Like, we cannot deal with our uncertainty. It is just like,
And I think we're all, I don't know, I'm doing it myself where I'm like, you know, checking the news incessantly and just trying to know what's happening in Quebec, you know, how fast are things moving in Canada, what's going on in New York, that's nearby.
Yeah.
And just wanting information
to
know what's going to happen. And just nobody knows.
Right? And she also quotes Anne Lamott, who says, the opposite of faith is not doubt, but certainty.
Yeah.
So, that's such, like, interesting, challenging.
Yeah. Yeah.
But,
I think I mostly agree with that.
Yeah.
It's maybe not a perfect expression, but it's
makes you
free. Literary level at worst. Yeah. The opposite of faith is
not doubt.
Not but doubt, but certainty, yeah.
So, I think I'm personally able to operate on an instinct or intuition enough that I don't feel like I need a certainty in all the things, and I have been raised by faith. I don't know. So anyways, get deliberate. Let go of it. Just let go. I don't know. Get inspired. She gives examples of books that have inspired her to have faith. One of them is that book, one of, I think, Plan B by Anne Lamott. And, I was thinking of that, the verse, for inspiration. I think, like, for me, what does not come from faith is sin. Is that what it is? Or is that a, like,
yeah, anything that does not proceed from faith is sin.
I think that is a helpful reminder to me, or anything that is done from fear is like that. Fear can be our the opposite of faith too sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, those things that help me, like lean into faith. And then she says, get going. Like she says, whenever she's really scared or unsure, she needs something to calm her craving for uncertainty or for certainty. She says the serenity prayer is really helpful. And that's the one that says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So I guess any prayer of like, Jesus, help.
Lord, save me.
Are good.
Yeah.
Do you have any?
No, I think that's all for today. Thoughts? Shorter chapter, shorter pod today. But
and we'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah.
As usual.
See you tomorrow.